in the studio for Fragile.
For many people, critics and fans alike, the essence of rock and roll has always been its simplicity, its rebelliousness, its pure, raw, adolescent energy. But as the 1970s began, there were others who believed it was possible to broaden the scope of rock and roll without diluting its power or its energy. They were serious musicians, often classically trained, who saw rock and roll as a means of serious artistic expression, a true art form. The problem, and it still exists today, was that many of these so-called art rock bands believed that serious music and mainstream popularity were basically incompatible, that any band who sold millions of records must have compromised to do it. But in 1972, the band called Yes released an album that sold millions of copies without a hint of artistic compromise. It was filled with bold instrumental experiments, classical arrangements, and unusual rhythms. It was a delicate balance of diverse sounds and styles, and perhaps that's why they called it Fragile. Released in January 1972, 25 years ago, it was the first Yes album to include keyboard player Rick Wakeman, and it was the final ingredient in the delicious mixture that was the classic Yes sound, a perfect addition to John Anderson's vocals, Chris Squire's bass, Bill Bruford's drums, and the unique guitar style of Steve Howe. It all came together on Fragile's biggest hit, a song called Roundabout. Here's John Anderson of Yes.
Roundabout was actually formulated in Scotland. We were traveling through from Aberdeen through to Glasgow, and we'd started the song by the time we were in Aberdeen. Me and Steve were singing it in the back of the van on the way down. And one of the things that you'll drive through is a very winding, small road that goes through this incredible valley. And the mountains are sheer from both sides of the road. They just climb up to the sky. And because it was a cloudy day, we couldn't see the top of the mountains. We could only see the clouds because it went sheer, straight up. And we were just driving down this incredible valley. And I remember saying, oh, the mariners, look, they're coming out of the sky, you know. So we wrote that down, the mariners come out of the sky and they stand there, you know. And then we came to a roundabout right at the bottom of this road. And within 24 hours, we would be back in London. We'd been on tour then for about a month. So it was sort of 24 hours before I'll be home with my loved one, Jennifer. So the idea was 24 before my love, I'll be there with you. And around the lake. Just before you get to Glasgow, there's a lake, a very famous one, the Loch Ness. So we were driving in and around the lake, mariners come out of the sky, they stand there.
That is the best I've ever heard Roundabout. In this, its 25th anniversary in the studio. John Anderson of Yes picks up the story.
What we always tried to make sure we wanted was a lot of harmony. Me, Steve and Chris singing together had a certain texture, and we worked on that all the way through that period of time. And the strong melody, sometimes very, very simple, the end of Roundabout, we sing da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- There's another melody. Ba, 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 ba. Three blind mice, three blind mice. So, the way it was put and where it was positioned, it sounds really like, wow, that's really interesting. But I knew it was three blind mice, and when we did it, I didn't mind. I just knew that where we put it made it sound totally different, you know?
After the release of their third album, simply called the Yes Album, in 1971, Yes toured America for the first time, opening for Jethro Tull. It was on that tour that the band realized there was a significant audience that was receptive to their brand of complex, densely orchestrated music. John Anderson takes it from there.
We did an American tour that really energized us incredibly. We really wanted to get back in the studio and make another album quickly, because we knew that we were on a sort of a roll on many levels. And then all of a sudden there was this definite feeling of, well, we've got Steve and he's very multi-talented. Maybe we should look for a more multi-talented keyboard player. And that's when Rick Wakeman joined the group, who was the sort of darling of the the university colleges. He was the man to go and see because he was very talented, very individual in his style. And we actually did a concert with the group he was playing with. The group was called the Strobes. And we did a concert, and I watched him, and I saw a really great talent playing away, very young. And he joined the group. So, again, we were really injected with that energy again. And that came out in Fragile.
Rick Wakeman, who'd studied piano at Britain's Royal Academy of Music, was a well-known session player even before he joined the Strobes, working with David Bowie and Cat Stevens, among others. Wakeman recalls what his life was like in 1971 when he was invited to join Yes.
I had a small house, struggling to pay the mortgage, all the usual things, and I decided that I was going to leave and go back to sessions because at least doing the sessions I could make a living. I didn't want to, but that was the situation. And I got a phone call from Chris Squire, which was about June or July of 1971. They just returned from an American tour, their very first tour. They were going to have a few changes, and they decided that they wanted to have a whole new direction in their music. You know, they were after the sort of a continuing of direction in the orchestral rock vein. And to cut a very long story short, we ended up having a rehearsal together, and we ended up writing in the first week Heart of the Sunrise and Roundabout, which just completely freaked me out. I mean, I came back really excited because I felt that here was something that if this didn't capture people's imaginations, then it really was back to sessions because I really was too left field or something.
The recording sessions for the album Fragile began at London's AdVision Studios in the fall of 1971. It was John Anderson's idea to have each member of the band come up with individual pieces of music that would surround the album's main songs.
We had four major songs, and just before we started doing some more, I said to the guys, hey, listen, I'm going to go downstairs and do this idea that I have. I'm not sure what it's going to be. It's just a rolling idea of voices and things. And I said to Rick, we'll all do little individual ideas, as well as the songs that we've got, which are very strong. We'll have four sort of vignettes. And I went downstairs in AdVision into the studio too. And I recorded a song called We Have Heaven, which is a sort of vocal musical thing.
And We Have Heaven. Next, we'll hear how Rick Wakeman's presence in Yes changed the way that keyboards are used in rock and roll. I'm Redbeard, and you're in the studio for the 25th anniversary of Fragile by Yes.
And you're in the studio for Fragile.
And I'm Redbeard. Welcome back to the 25th anniversary of this great Yes album. Tony Kaye, Yes's first keyboard player, left the band after that first American tour. But Yes wasted no time in replacing him with Rick Wakeman and getting right back to work. Here's John Anderson of Yes.
Within the space of 2 weeks after getting back off tour, we were in the studio because we realized that, hey, there was a lot of people out there. There's a lot of people getting to be excited about what we're doing. So we're more excited about what we're doing now than we ever were. So let's get on with it. And that's what we did. I think it took, Fragile took 4 or 5 weeks to record. And as I mentioned, Rick coming into the group made us work faster and harder than we'd ever done before. We were working, you know, 16-hour days without stopping, really, maybe one day off every couple of weeks. It was an inspired time, totally inspired by the music. The music we were working on was so new and so fresh to us that it was pretty easy to get out. Article said that sleep is death's little sister, and I thought that was very poetic in many ways, because most of us haven't got a clue what real death is about, and it's always been used in sort of very dark terms. You're gonna die, these lines. Very, very strange attitude about it, because life is beautiful. Why shouldn't death be beautiful? Death be an extension of life. So that was South Side of the Sky, that attitude that we keep climbing that mountain, we keep pushing harder in order to reach the top of the mountain, when in order to reach the top you have to go through transitions. Maybe one of that is that eternal sleep, or that next life span. It was very mystical, I think, outside of the sky.
Singer John Anderson.
Probably around Fragile was the time that I started to become a little bit more like a director. They used to call me Napoleon. They never told me to my face. But it didn't matter, you know, I didn't care, as long as, you know, it was happening. Later I learned the word catalyst, and I think that's what I was. I was a sort of catalyst, that I would make things happen, because I didn't want them to sit around just playing da-da-da-da music. They had great talent. I wanted to hear something inspiring.
Rick Wakeman's addition to Yes was not entirely a smooth one. In spite of his classical background, Wakeman was known for his flamboyant stage presence and his improvisational keyboard techniques, strikingly different from the other members of the band Yes. I asked Rick Wakeman about his musical history.
I was very lucky. I came from a very musical family, and my father encouraged me tremendously, and I started piano lessons when I was 5, and I did. I had a private tutor until I was 18, and I went to the Royal College of Music and did 2 years there. I also did clarinet, church organ, orchestration and modern music while I was there. And I left a year before completing my course to get my degree. And it was a gamble when you look back on it, but it was one that I had to take. I started doing sessions and playing for different people, and I was interested in the new electronics of instruments that were coming out, although there was only things like the Minimoog and the Mellotron available, really, that was all. But I was desperate to try and improve the relationship of the keyboard within a band, because it was always before the organ that rarely got heard anyway, and I just really thought there was a tremendous future for it, and I was interested in it, and I sort of poked my nose in a bit, and I realised that there was a gap. But the problem I also realised was that if I finished my course for another year, I wouldn't be able to put a full-time thing into what I wanted to do, which was help develop keyboards and bring those to part of the music. But if I didn't, somebody else would. I was very well aware that the course of musical history was not going to be changed by me, but I could be part of it if I wanted to be. So I went to see my father, and I said, I'm quitting college. And my mother just freaked my mum out. But I did it, and it was tough. My father, he said, OK. He said, well, if you're going to do that, he said, it's not all going to be a bed of roses. You realise that it's tough, you know, because, you know, it doesn't all happen overnight, and it might not happen, and the percentages are bad for you. And I said, that's true. I played in pally bands, jazz bands, pubs, anywhere where I could earn a couple of quid. I played in pubs for £3 a night, anywhere where I could get just, you know, enough money to keep going. Because a lot of the sessions and the things that you did, you really didn't get paid for. Good sessions, the rate then was £9 for a good session. You see, you couldn't live on it unless you were a real session musician and did loads and loads a day, which is in fact what I ended up doing. I got onto Fixers list and just played. I did about nearly 3,000 sessions in the space of 4 years.
Think of that, 3,000 sessions in 4 years. For a while, Rick Wakeman had problems adjusting to the other members of Yes. He thought they were too meticulous and too controlled. They thought he was too spontaneous, too wild, and too theatrical. In time, though, Wakeman began to appreciate the differences and even to admire them.
I couldn't believe that the attention to detail. I mean, we would spend 3 or 4 hours just musically discussing 3 bars, whether the link was right or not, and trying it all different sorts of ways and coming back to where we started. And I thought, this is totally over the top. This is totally unnecessary. But at the end of the day, after all those hours were put into...
Listen, for Amaran, when I think about it, it was how religion had seemed to confuse me totally. It was such a game that seemed to be played, and I was going around in circles looking for the sound of reality, the sound of God. That was my interpretation of that song, but I was always confused. I could never understand the things that religion stood for. And that, over the years, has always popped its head up in the songs that I've been working with. Just that inbuilt confusion since I was a child. The fear of the Lord. You have to fear death. What do you want to give a child such a dark way of looking at life for?
Run Around, and then Chris Squire's instrumental composition, The Fish. Next, we'll hear Fragile's most ambitious musical piece, a song called Heart of the Sunrise. I'm Redbeard, and you're in the studio with Yes for the 25th anniversary of Fragile.
In the studio. I'm Rick Wakeman with Redbeard.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Wakeman's most individual contribution to the album Fragile was a classical arrangement called Cans and Brahms, a vivid illustration of the influences that shaped his musical style.
Of college or music school and going into this side of music before. And if they had, it was into the sort of the session world where they played their notes and that was what they, that's all they did. Where I suddenly found that I had a part to play was because a lot of writers, a lot of music writers, had the basic songs and their chords and their various things, but they were limited to the amount of chords that they knew. They were limited to the amount of musical knowledge they had. And they were, in other words, it limited them to what they could do with their song. In other words, they had a great sketch, but they might have only had red and green to play with in their paint pot. And what they found by dragging old Muggins in here was that I didn't have the sketch, but I had a paint pot with all the colours in it. So I could turn around and say, look, you need to do this here. You could change that chord sequence there. That'll be much better.
Adding orchestral sounds with synthesized keyboards. To try something like that, particularly on a rock album, was a real musical risk. But as Rick Wakeman explains, the success of the Yes album Fragile proved that the risk-taking was justified.
We were convinced that music, musicians of the so-called rock age, or some of them at least, should be taken seriously. That's what we wanted it to do. Of course we wanted to make commercial, viable records, and we wanted to people to buy them and enjoy them. We were convinced very much that we wanted to change things, the attitude that there was two sorts of music, the one that you made the pop record that sold millions of copies, and then there was the other musician, who the underground musician, which was very much for people who wanted to discover music, but it wasn't out to the people, it wasn't available for everybody really, it was something that you almost kept to yourself and took home, that sold, it was almost a bigger success if it sold 18 copies rather than 18 million copies, you know. Hey, this album just sold 8 copies. Oh, wow, it must be really good, really good.
Really good. The critical response to the album Fragile was overwhelming, and when Yes returned to America, it was as a headline act. It was more than anyone had expected from the band or the album. Here's Rick Wakeman.
The record company had no idea what we were doing, and because they had no idea what we were doing, they left us alone. We knew 80% what we were doing, but 20% we didn't know what we were doing. And there weren't all the wonderful effects and things flying around then, so what you did, you experimented wildly and trying to do things, and tracks came together and there was all the merging of different ideas. And when that appeared, it freaked the record company and a lot of people out, because it was just sort of almost over the top. It was just broke all the rules in long pieces and different sorts of moods within pieces. Very complex and things.
The 1972 tour of America was a triumph for Yes, and particularly for Rick Wakeman, who soon emerged as one of the first superstar keyboard players, a spectacular figure with his capes and his long blonde hair, surrounded by stacks and stacks of keyboards and amps.
It was a marvelous period of time because everybody within the band had great ideas of things that they wanted to do, and also were tremendously supportive. I'd always dreamed of putting more than two or three keyboards on stage, of putting like half a dozen at least around and piling them on top of each other. And nobody had ever done it, and also there was the problem because nobody knew how to monitor it, nobody knew how to do anything. And the great thing was that all the guys said, go for it. I said, look, there's going to be problems. There was no little mixing, no mixing desk or anything for keyboards and whatever. I said, it was literally having different amps set up. I mean, I had about 7 or 8 Fender amps, you know, for each different instrument. I mean, the end product of that album was very important to me. I was always convinced, and it sounds a bit egotistical, but I don't mean it to, I was always convinced that when we did Fragile, all the time that we were recording it, writing it and putting it together, that it was something very, very special. What we were convinced was that you could make a sort of music that was in the underground tradition, but you could do it and present it in a way that it was available for everybody to enjoy, or not enjoy as the case may be. And that's really what we set out to do. We wanted it to be promoted as if you were promoting a pop album, but saying, but hold on a minute, we want all your promotional aspects and all the things, and we want to go out and play, and we want to put on an outrageous show, but we also want to be recognised that this hopefully is music that won't be forgotten like the normal pop music in a month's time, 6 months' time, or a year's time, or the odd track might just get pulled off. But what we would really like to happen is that in 20 years' time, that a jock on the radio somewhere...
This is Redbeard thanking John Anderson and old Muggins himself, Rick Wakeman of Yes, for taking us through the 25th anniversary of the Yes album, Fragile. We're also very grateful to Brian Lane and Pete Smith at Sun Arts Music.